Good morning to one and all. You know, I challenge everybody in here. The song that she sung a little bit ago said, learning to, you know, so much better living in his life and in his light. You know what? I challenge you this morning. If you have never known Jesus as your Savior, you come to know him, and I'm going to challenge you. I don't think you'll find a better reason, a better life than you can have than to accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. Taking him and let him guide your life. And you tell me that your life is not better. You prove to me that your life is not better in knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I can challenge you that. I can guarantee you. You will find that whenever he comes into your life, you'll not find anything any better. You won't. I tell you, I've talked to countless people who accepted Jesus into their heart. And every one of them I've ever talked to, not a one has ever told me they wish they had never done it. You know what they tell me? They wish they had done it sooner. Because you know why? The love that floods your heart the moment that Jesus Christ comes into it, there's no explaining it. Only through the Spirit of God can you know spiritual things. And there's no explaining when Jesus comes flooding into your heart. None. None. I want to talk a little bit about something this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about truth and about freedom. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. John 8, 30 through 32. John chapter 8, 30 through 32. I'll give you a minute to turn there. At one point in the history of humankind, truth was very important to people. It was. It was supposed to be very important. People sought to know truth. They sought it, and thereby, when they found truth, they gained wisdom by finding it. They did. Those who searched for the truth were sometimes called philosophers. That's what they were called. Those were the ones that, you know, they loved wisdom, and they tried to seek it out. You know what? What is it in society today? A philosopher is those who question truth. They question whether or not truth even exists. That's how much it's changed down through the years. You know, you get somebody that's a philosopher today, they don't want you to really find the wisdom and the truth in anything. They want to question the truth that they find. And you know what? They want to question it and find out if truth even existed whatsoever. You know what? If truth does exist, they'll tell you, is it knowable? Is it important at all? If truth really does exist in this world we live in? That's what they'll try to. We have become a people who live according to their feelings. And you know the saying, I'm saying, if it feels good, do it. Have you ever heard that saying before? That's the people we've become today. If it feels good, do it. Our feelings have become more important than our ability to think sometimes. Amen. They have. Honestly, they have. Our ability to think sometimes has nothing to do with it. But if it feels good, heck with what we think about it. Heck with what anything else. We think what we want to feel feels good to us. That's what we want to do. The truth has nothing to do with it. In a recent poll, it showed 71% of Americans said there's no such thing as absolute truth. 71% of Americans believe that. That's astounding to me. And you as Christians, before we get smug about it, listen to this. The same evangelical born-again Christians were asked that same question. 40% of them didn't believe in absolute truth. 40% of them did. 69% of the people polled did not believe in moral absolutes. So in other words, what they're telling me is that you know what? If it feels good to you, you go ahead and do it. Brothers, and you just go ahead and do it. That's fine. Go ahead, because there's no absolute moral truth involved in 69%. That astounds me. That amazes me. That's why I get so concerned whenever I talk to you about truth and about freedom and what truth really means. You know what? Listen, to show you how the way of thinking goes, and I'll get to my scripture here in a minute, and we'll get to that here in a minute. A preacher, I read this story. A preacher was talking about how that the church had hired a young minister to be their youth pastor. Well, in the course of talking to him, the minister found out that this youth pastor did not believe that there was an absolute moral truth. Did not believe it. Can you imagine hiring somebody like that as your youth pastor? They did not believe in moral truth as an absolute. Did not believe in it. Well, eventually he went to another church, this young minister did. Ended up, he found out later that this young man had got in trouble for embezzling money from the other church, embezzled money from the church, got in trouble. You know why? Because he was living out just the way his thought process had provided to him. There was no absolute moral truth. So if I want to take a little bit here, if I want to do this, there's no absolute truth that tells me that I can't, especially if you're not obeying the Word of God, because then in turn, that's what His truth is. That's what His truth was for. This is why I say to you this morning that truth is absolutely important this morning. It is important, and I will get into what I'm talking about. What you believe is important. The truth, what you believe to be the truth is important because it will determine how you see life. It will determine how you live your life. What you perceive as truth in your life is how you will determine how you live and how you think in your life. That's exactly what it'll be. It will determine your ability to understand life, and it will also, and to obey God. If you do not believe in truth, the absolute truth, it will take your ability to believe what God says in His Word, and you won't be able to believe it. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples." And 32 says it best. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Amen? Praise God! We can know absolute truth by those of us sitting here this morning. We can know it. We can live it. We can think it in our minds. Jesus said in His Word there, like I said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Let us pray. Father, as we come this morning, Lord, again I come, Lord, thanking You, Father, for the opportunity to stand behind this desk this morning. Lord, You know, I pray, Father, as You've showed me this Scripture, Lord, as You show me this message, Lord, I pray, Father, that I could convey it the way that You'd have it to be done this morning. I pray, Father, that it would go out, Lord, and touch hearts and minds and souls, Lord, that we could understand that Your truth is the only way. And, the Father, if we grab a hold of that and hang on to it, Father, that we can be just exactly what You'd have us to be. And amen. And amen. I will say to you without a shame this morning, the truth is a person. Do you understand that? John 14:6, Jesus saying to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Listen to me. You want to know absolute truth, you get to know Jesus Christ this morning. You get to know the One that says that "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the way that we can know absolute truth in our life. He is the only. Here's the great truth of the Scripture. Listen, there's so much Scripture I'm going to read you this morning, but just bear with me on this. Here's the great truth of the Scripture. In the center of our faith, actually, it can be found in Colossians 1, the first chapter, 13 through 17, and it says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Do you want to know truth? And I'll read the rest of it here. But the truth starts right here, and it says right here, He said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of His sins." The only way that we can be saved, and we've talked about it in the teaching here this morning, is we have to accept the finished work of Jesus Christ that He done on the cross. And yes, the finished work included Him shedding His precious blood. And if that precious blood had not been shed, there's no way that we could have ever known the truth that Jesus Christ still saves souls like He saved mine and yours. Amen? "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him," now listen to this, "for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Don't let this convoluted truth out here, this watered down truth that they try to tell you that God does not exist and things are not created by Him. Listen to me. All things were created by God. The Word of God tells us it was done for His glory. It was done for Him. Praise God this morning. That settles it with me. "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." I want you to know something this morning. The reason that you are sitting here this morning, the reason that you took a breath when you got up out of bed this morning, was because of Jesus Christ, was because of God the Father, was because of the Holy Spirit. The only reason. "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Amen. Praise God. That is a truth that we can stand by. The universe, who, no matter who's out there, we can stand by. Don't, young people, don't let them. Do not let them twist your views. Do not let them twist your thoughts. God is above and before all things. God is it. We live in a world where it is wrong to judge. That's what they say us. It's wrong for us to judge evil. That's what they tell us. Listen, than to do evil. It's more wrong. That's what they try to tell us. Tolerance is a great virtue of the day. That's what they try to tell us. Judgmentalism is the great sin of our day and age. Because you know what? We cannot judge sin. As Christians, we cannot judge sin. Because whenever we do, we're called intolerant. I want to tell you something. We stand upon God's Word, for God's Word is truth. And I tell you, I don't stand up here to judge sin and to put people down who sin. I want to get them saved is what I want to do. I want them to let them know that there is a God that judges all things. And if we are sinning and we do not accept His Son as our personal Savior, we are dead. We are dead men walking and dead women walking as we walk today. We are spiritually dead. And one of these days, if we close our eyes in physical death and go over to the other side, if we have not Jesus Christ in our heart, we are bound to eternity in hell. That's what I... Let's look at the truth according to God's Word in Romans 1, 18 and 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You don't think that the truth out there today is being held in unrighteousness, that they try to speak what is wrong is right? They do that. And the Word tells us that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Listen, for the invisible things of things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. God has revealed to us everything we need to know. But you know what? The world is so blinded, they don't want to see what God has revealed to them. The spirituality of mankind is so depraved that they do not want to see what God has really put out there. And said, listen, we can overcome this sin-filled world. He said, He made even His eternal power into God so that they are without excuse. There's none of us in here this morning that is without excuse. Jesus Christ told us, I believe this wholeheartedly, before He comes back to get His church, everyone will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will know that they need to be saved, that they have to accept Him. At the moment that everyone knows that, I believe that He will split the eastern sky, and I believe He's coming back to get His church. Amen? Truth is something that can be clearly seen and understood. It can be, if for those who truly want to see it. There are too many of them out there that don't want to see the truth. They don't want to see it or hear it. That's why Jesus said that the truth can set you free. You know what? If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You are not bound down. You are not held down. If Jesus Christ comes into your heart and sets you free, I want you to understand something here this morning. You are free. You are ready for heaven. You are a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. If He sets you free, you're ready to do it. You're ready to go. You're ready to take off. You're ready to do what He wants you to do. For who He sets free is free indeed. But do not be a slave to sin no more. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. I don't know where your life is here this morning. And I don't know if you know people out there in the world that are like this. If they do not know Jesus, they are bound to sin. Sin has got them bound and bound down and wrapped its ugly hands around them. And they're trying to escape, and they try to do it. But listen, what His Word says, the very same, whosoever committed a sin is a servant of sin. You don't have to be that way no more. Amen. You don't have to be a servant to sin no more. Too many are under spiritual bondage. Jesus is reaching out to you in spirit of truth and trying to tell you, come unto me, and I will take my yoke upon you. He'll make it easy for you. Amen. Waiting to set you free. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess, I think Gregory is with thy mouth, that the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Listen to me. He didn't say you may be saved. thou shalt be saved. How much clearer can it be? If God is dealing with your heart here this morning, and He's telling you, you know, when it's altar call, I don't care. You know what? If you want to come up here right now, you come now. But whenever it is, but if He's dealing with you, and you come up here, and He says, to you, listen, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, listen, you have to believe it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I want to tell you something, whenever you believe it, it's going to come out here. One way or another, it will come out this mouth. It will come out somehow. You'll confess. Listen, I'm a new creature. Jesus Christ has saved me. Praise God. You know what? You have what I got. He tells us that. Jesus shall believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Folks, that is freedom. That's born again by the blood Christians. That is freedom. Amen? We have freedom through Jesus Christ whenever we do. The truth has set us free. We're not barely hanging on. The word of truth tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. You don't have to have a dime to your name. Your father owns the cattle on 10,000 hills. He owns it all. You're not poor. Yeah, I don't care what your situation is in the bank. That doesn't make any sense. I don't care how sorrowful you are, yet always rejoicing. Because God tells me in my spirit, whenever He deals and the Spirit of God wells up in me, it makes no difference where I'm at in my walk in this old physical life. He can make this thing so right in my heart and in my spirit, praise God. We can do this. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it. He wrote it all. He's got her done. And brothers, we can go to be with Him. Amen. We can have an abundant life. You know that? We have to stop listening to that thief that's trying to take it away, who's feeding us lies from time to time. John 10:10, the thief cometh, not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Don't let the devil take and rob your joy and tell you mistruths. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still able to save. You may be sitting back here this morning and saying, listen, I've done way too much for God to save me. I've been too bad. Listen to me. You've not done nothing that Jesus Christ's blood cannot cover in your life. Amen? You've not done anything. When in the course of you, it becomes, listen to this. You all know what this is. And tell me what this is. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve a political bond which they have committed with one another to assume among the powers of the earth, to separate an equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitled them. What am I reading? There you go. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator. That was in that. They can't take it out of there. With certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want you to know, freedom has been this country's battle cry for 237 years, has it not? It has. And I believe it was created with these men intended for us to serve God, the God, I believe. I don't believe they were intended to serve any God. I believe it was intended to serve the God, what I believe. Unfortunately, I feel our country today, we have a much different idea of what freedom means compared to our founding fathers. I believe if they knew what people in this country considered freedom today, they'd be rolling over in their graves, actually, to be quite honest with you. Listen, millions of unborn babies are killed, and you know what they call that? A freedom of choice. Pornography fills up TV, computer, and movie screens, and magazines is full of it. You know what they call that? Freedom of speech. Culture formed. Magic is performed. They worship Satan and all these things, and they call that freedom of religion. It's what they call that. I want you to know something. They do drugs and have sex with whoever and whatever they want. Freedom, that's what some freedoms mean. Some kids are free to do whatever they want. And you know what? Whether they want to go to school, whether they not, whether they want to learn, or whether they don't. And don't dare be an educator and try to do anything about it. Because of this freedom, this so-called freedom, there are still others think that they can do whatever they want as long as it's behind closed doors. I want you to know that what's done in secret is going to be brought to light one of these days, brothers and sisters. It is going to be brought to light one of these days. And these things are supposed to be evidence of our freedom. That's what I'm saying. They have in reality enslaved them. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with what? The yoke of bondage. These people are bound so far down by the yoke of bondage, they cannot see what the truth really is. They do not understand what truth really is. Whether they admit it or even know it, sin has them blinded. It has them bound, and only the truth can set them free. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the only one that can set them free. 2 Corinthians 4:1-4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There's too many of them standing behind the pulpits of God today, and they're using the word deceitfully. They're deceiving millions. God to say, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, listen to me, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Satan wants you to continue to be bound. He wants you not to see the truth, because as long as he has you there, you'll never see the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine into your heart. But God wants that. Jesus Christ wants that. You can do something about it. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You cannot cleanse yourself. You cannot do it. You cannot tell yourself, well, I'm going to quit this and then I'll be all right. I seen a little video the other day. It's called the Good-O-Meter. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but it's really good. They have two angels standing there, then they have this big clock-like thing, and it's called the Good-O-Meter on it. What it is, they have these people walk up and they bring up these little folders and they ask them, well, let's see what you did in this folder, maybe thick, and they had done a lot of stuff in their life. And this girl steps up and says, well, yeah, I've done a lot of bad things, but you know what? I've cleaned the park. I picked up trash in the park. I think all this good stuff that I do, it comes in balance with the bad stuff. And the guy and the angel grabs it, well, let's see. And she gets on there. Of course, it doesn't. It says, not good enough. And she has to go sit on the bad side. And it goes through all this bunch of people. There's about six or seven. And then it gets to this one guy who has a folder this thick. And he said, boy, man, you've been bad. He said, yeah. And he said, yes. And he said, well, let's get on here and see what happens. Next thing you know, you see Jesus walk up. And he said, and Jesus, he said, not you. You don't get on to talk to this guy. He said, this guy gets on. Jesus gets on there. Of course, it's way good enough. And that guy gets to go, and then you see all these people over here complaining. Well, how did he do that? Because he accepted Jesus Christ. You cannot do it on your own. All the good deeds that you do, everything that you do, you cannot be fit subjects for heaven. All you've got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's it. Confess your faults. Let him come in. You know what? Praise God. This is the truth. The devil does not want you to see. He wants you walking around full of guilt. He wants you walking around full of shame. Just reach out to Jesus and he will save you. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know what that is? The gift of his son Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. A gift of God. If I come and give you something, if I come and give you something here this morning as a free gift to you, I don't expect you to pay me back for it. It's a gift to you. God's giving you something this morning. His son, Jesus Christ. You can be free from condemnation that's hanging over you. The word of truth tells me it's possible. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The moment I got saved, the condemnation of this world left me. I felt like the weight of 10,000 weights was upon me, 10,000 pounds was upon me, and it lifted off my soul the moment that I got saved. It did. I can remember getting up out of there and thinking, man alive, this is what it's about! I knew! Because there was no condemnation, none! We can be as free voicing, we can be as free of that worry that dogs us sometimes. The word used in the Bible to describe worry is divided mind. That's what it means. If you're worried this morning, and you know what the Bible tells us not to worry, it's that don't have your mind divided. Don't have it. Worry divides the mind. Between positive thoughts and damaging thoughts, that's what worry does to us. Worry can enslave and trap you. I've seen people that have been trapped by worry. They have been trapped by listen to me. A University of Wisconsin study, and I wrote this down, has four. They broke down worry into four different categories. One of them is things that never happen. Guess what takes up that percentage? 40%. Things that happen that you can't change, 30%. Petty things, 22%. And legitimate worries, 8%. We can be enslaved by things sometimes that we cannot do nothing about. We can be enslaved by things that will never happen, but we worry about them anyway. We can be enslaved by those little petty things that come into our lives sometimes. We worry about these things. We do. But you know, when it gets right down to it, only 8% of those things are really legitimate things to worry about. And you know what? We can put them in Jesus' hands, and we don't even have to worry about them, do we? The word of truth can set us free. 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you this morning. And you, and you, and you, and you. He cares for you. Psalms 127:2 says it best. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. That means to eat the bread of worry. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. He wants us to have restful sleep at night, not to sit up and worry about the things in this life. You know what? We do that, do we not? There are times in our life we do that. Worry distorts our thinking. Worry disrupts our work. Worry disquiets our soul. Worry disturbs our body, destroys our friendships. And you know what? Defeats our faith and deflates our energy. It does all those things. Worry can do that to us. If you've ever been caught up in the clutches of it, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it can do. Jesus can set you free. He taught us if God takes care of the lilies and the sparrows, what will He do for one of us? What will He do for one of us? If He can take care of such little things we think are insignificant, God takes care of them. Praise God, we can do that. How, preacher? He says, I'm glad you asked, by the way. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen to this. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace that passes all understanding. You know what? They'll think you're some kind of nut. You're going through what? Yeah, but praise God. Praise God, He's with me. They'll think you're a nut because the peace of God can pass all understanding. That's why. Can you believe this? Yes, you can. Romans 3, 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true and let every man be a liar. That's what I think. God's Word's true. Young folks, God's Word's true. You know what? You may be studying in a biology class one of these days. You may be in college one of these days. And they're going to try to twist your mind around and make you think that the things aren't just what they say they are. But let me tell you, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Remember that verse of Scripture if you don't remember anything else in your life. He is the God of truth, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Yes, you can be free from worry. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He will not lie. He has never lied. You can be free from fear. Many live in constant fear today. They do. Always afraid of something. Always afraid of something. They see a crisis, a problem around every corner, a calamity. Jesus can set you free from fear. Matthew 10, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather, listen to me, fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body. If you're going to fear anything in your life, you fear God. You fear Him. What? When we fear God, we fear nothing else. Right? I believe that. But when we don't fear God, we fear everything else. We do. We can do that. When we fear God, you come to love Him. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. Fear can torment you. Do you understand that? Fear torments people. It does. So we have freedom from hopelessness, folks. We have that. Suicide rates are at an all-time high, it seems like. People feeling there's no use in going on. Things will never change, that's what they say. In the world today, it's an overwhelming sense of hopelessness that is in this world today. It seems like it. We just feel it on every hand. Jesus said in the Word of Truth, let me tell you what the Word of Truth says. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. We have a living hope this morning. We have that. We have it by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because He is raised from the dead, we have a living hope this morning, okay? We have it. Our hope's not dead. It's not. Don't let them tell you it is. Why is there hope? Because where hope is, if we only hope in this life only, if some people do not know Jesus, their only hope is in this life only. And you know what it said in 1 Corinthians 15:19 about that? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want you to understand, listen to me this morning. If your life is, if you're just having hope in this life you're living in down here, you're going to be of all men most miserable one of these days. Because you will stand before a living God. And you know what? Judgment will come. We are my hope beyond all this. The Revelation song they sung here earlier, the Revelation that we were singing over the overhead, He said, He is, He always was, He is to come. Jesus Christ is coming back. Do you understand perfectly well? He's coming back to get a blood-washed church. He's coming back to get His people one of these days. I want to talk about Barabbas a minute. Whenever Barabbas was in prison, and you know the whole story, you know that, he was turned loose because of why? Because they took Jesus instead, right? You know what? Let's think of it this way. That jail cell was open. Barabbas was standing there. He just didn't stay in there, did he not? He got out of there. He left because Jesus had taken his place. Why is it today that there's so many out here in this world today that Jesus Christ is taking their place, but they're still standing within the jail cell? Can you answer me that? The jail cell's open. Jesus is telling them, I will take this upon me and you can be free, but they want to continually stay in that jail. Why? I don't understand it. I've tried to understand it down through my little short time on this earth. I don't understand why people do not want to accept the freedom that Jesus Christ has given them. The truth that He has put out there. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's willing. Hey, pray me. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, He is so good to us, is He not? He is so good to us. I'm done. If they come get a song this morning, if you're here this morning, I want to ask you a question, a serious question. If you are here this morning, and you're still in that jail you're in, the cell's open. The door's open. You can come right on out, come right up here, and Jesus Christ will take your place. He will do that. All that you have to do is accept Him. Don't stay in there no more. Get out of it. Please stand, please.